You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zalecki. Todd, I think we sort of expected that the Phillies might be able to put together a pretty good rotation coming into this year. Thought they might even assemble an interesting back of the bullpen. I don't think a lot of people expected to see the kind of development from some of these young hitters that we've seen. Three guys who are sort of at a point in their career where they might be taking a step forward and might be just having a career year and might even just be hot for a couple of months. I'm curious what you think, because in all three cases, they're guys where if this is real, it could be a big deal, not just this year going forward. So between Cody Ashe, who has never slugged 400, Cameron Rupp, who hit 245 and 215 in the two highest levels in the minors, and Peter Borges, who basically has one good full season in the majors in 6 years, who should we be buying and who should we not?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think out of the three, I think Cody Ashe has probably been the biggest surprise to people with the Phillies, in the sense that what you just said, he had never slugged 400 before. He really kind of took a step backwards last season, and I think the Phillies, if they're being honest, kind of saw him as a guy on the way out that really, really needed to put together a very, very strong season to have any shot at being part of this team again. So I'm not quite convinced that, you know, he's the guy that has been hitting the ball as well as he has been the last couple of weeks. You know, Cameron Rupp, I think going into the season, there were some people in the organization that thought, you know what, everybody's really high in Jorge Alfaro and Andrew Knapp, understandably so, too, their top catching prospects. But they thought that Cameron Rupp had a future in this organization as a backup catcher or as a guy that maybe shared some responsibilities behind the plate. Because let's be honest, you know, what are the odds that both Andrew Knapp and Jorge Alfaro both turn out to be frontline catchers? I mean, you probably wouldn't want to put a lot of money on that happening, just the nature of the way the game goes. And then Peter Borges, the feeling I got from the Phillies is they certainly weren't expecting what he's been doing the last couple weeks. But they thought his thing, the reason why he has struggled really, and he hasn't put together a good season since that season with the Anaheim, LA Angels a few years ago, is A, because he's been hurt a lot, and B, he has not played a lot when he has been healthy. And they believe that he was a guy that if he got regular playing time, he would be able to produce like he did in that good season with the Angels, which I think was 2011 maybe, or 2012, a few years ago. So if I'm buying on a guy right now, honestly, I'm probably buying Cameron Rupp. In this, if we're talking about this, future with the Phillies, if I had to put money on one of those three guys being with the Phillies a year or two down the road, I would think Cameron Rupp might be the guy. I think Peter Borges, if he keeps hitting like this, if I'm the Phillies, I'm definitely listening to trade offers for him. And honestly, I'm listening for trade offers for Cody Ashe, too, because when you look at this team down the road, you see Odubel Herrera in the outfield, you see Nick Williams coming up, and then in Double-A, you see Dylan Cousins, who's a power hitter, and you know, they have some other outfielders in the system that they like. So I would probably rank it in that order, Rupp, then Borges, then Ashe.
And to me, Rupp may be the most interesting of these guys for this reason. Catchers, sometimes the bat does come later. That's sort of one of those old kind of baseball axioms that you kind of have to be patient with a catcher's bat, that so much in development, so much time goes into learning to be a catcher that sometimes the bat can come along slower. So although, again, this is his outburst is probably the most out of character from what he's done as a hitter prior to now. But at the same time, at his age, I feel like maybe it's a little, I don't know if more believable, but I can sort of, I'm kind of willing to buy it to some extent. Not that he's going to be this good, but you can kind of put it together in your head and say, okay, that makes some sense. I mean, do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when the Phillies drafted him, they talked up his bat. They said, we think this guy can hit down the road. And certainly he's proving that. And I wrote the other day about this a little bit, because going into camp, everybody's like, well, Cameron Rupp he's kind of a placeholder until Alfaro or Andrew Knapp get up here. But I very vividly remember in 2008, Carlos Ruiz was having a very bad season offensively. His OPS was around 680. I think that's what he finished at. He was really struggling at the plate. And the Phillies fans were all over Pat Gillick. They wanted Lou Marson. He was one of the top catching prospects in baseball. He ended up getting traded to the Indians in 09 as part of the Cliff Lee trade. That's how highly regarded he was. Phillies fans wanted Lou Marson in the big leagues. They thought he was going to be the guy. Carlos Ruiz could not hit. I heard it all the time how Carlos Ruiz could not play in the big leagues. They stuck with Carlos Ruiz, and he kind of turned into a pretty decent hitting catcher down the road. So that's why I agree with you. I think the same thing could be kind of going on with Cameron Rupp a little bit. Now, is he a bona fide number one, play him a little bit more regular than he has been playing type of guy? The jury's still out. But certainly I think going forward, they feel pretty comfortable if next season they want to call up Knapp or Alfaro and kind of ease those guys into it. I think they feel very, very good that Cameron Rupp can kind of, you know, hold down the fort until maybe they are ready. And if they're not ready and he continues to play, well, that's good for them as well.
It seems like they do have the luxury of sort of having some time to figure that out.
Right.
You wrote recently a piece about the trade deadline and sort of about how, whereas last year's trade deadline was really transformative for this organization, you should not expect this year's to be. And in fact, even sort of indicated that they're not really in a hurry even to move Jeremy Hellickson, who seems like the most obvious candidate. But as this market takes shape, and as it becomes clearer and clearer that there is a real dearth of starting pitchers on the market and a lot of teams that really need starting pitching. I mean, if Julio Teheran's not on the market, I guess Pomeranz, Matt Moore, Jake Odorizzi, it's a short list. Does that make it more likely that they move Hellickson, just considering that you might get a pretty good haul for him in a real thin starting pitching market?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the key is what you just said, get a pretty good haul. Not that they're expecting, you know, a team's top prospect by any means, but in the conversations I've had with people in the Phillies, they're kind of feeling it, of it as this. Hellickson's a free agent after the season. You know, Borges can become a free agent after the season. You know, Jeanmar Gomez might as well sell high on him, you know. But going back to Hellickson, he's probably not going to be re-signed, so this is probably it. But they're not going to give him away either. In other words, if a team calls them up and says, listen, how about we give you this very fringy, maybe if everything breaks right, he could be a good sixth-inning guy in the bullpen, they might not go for that. They might just rather keep him in the rotation the rest of the season, kind of anchor, you know, lead these young pitchers, but teach them a few things, kind of solidify things. So, you know, because he's pretty much a six-inning guy, or he has been a six-inning guy most of the season. So if they can get something that they actually feel might be able to help them down the road, then yes, I absolutely believe they will trade for him. But if they feel it's kind of a, are we really going to take a flyer on this guy for, you know, or would it be more valuable for us to have Jeremy Hellickson in the rotation for 2 months and helping these young guys along? I think big picture-wise, from what I've gathered, the Phillies front office looks at that bit part of the big picture, helping these young pitchers along, Velasquez, Nola, Eichhoff, Eflin, and sees Hellickson's influence down the road maybe as being greater importance than getting that fringe guy.
You mentioned Gomez. He seems like the other guy that might really hold some appeal. He's been very good, but it's awfully hard to have a lot of trust in a reliever who strikes out as few batters as he does. Is that another guy that they might look to catch in on?
Yeah, I think so. I guess I probably would be less picky about trading Gomez than maybe I would about Hellickson, because the thing about Jeanmar Gomez is going into spring training, he was a middle reliever. And then I remember after the first four games of the season, the Phillies were 0-4. The bullpen was terrible after those first four games. And we talked to Pete McCann and said, hey, you know, Jeanmar Gomez pitched pretty well for you last year in middle relief. would you pitch him in the late innings? He says, no, not really. We tried him that role last year. He didn't really take to it well. We don't know if he can handle it. And one thing led to another. Now he's the closer. He's got, you know, over 20 saves. And so I guess that's my point of this is it shows you that you can find a closer if you look hard enough. And so for that reason, if I'm the Phillies, I'm very, very open to trading Genmar Gomez. Take a flyer on a guy, take a flyer on a prospect. Because if you can find Genmar Gomez can save 20 games and you didn't think he could really pitch in the eighth or ninth inning, four games into the season, then I'm certain you can find somebody in the offseason or find somebody in spring training in your system that can take his place going forward.
All right, well, thanks, Todd Zielecki, for taking some time to talk. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This is MLB.com Extras.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.